Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Are you a parent with a newly diagnosed child with autism? Are you looking for answers on how you can help your struggling child? The online training course, Discovering Behavioral Intervention, is the answer. Real parents take you through applied behavior analysis in 10 step-by-step modules. Learn more at udiscovering.org and follow them on Twitter at udiscovering. We are very proud to have Mayer Johnson as our sponsor. Mayer Johnson is the world's special education super source. The Mayer Johnson sale is on. They have incredible, drastic savings on hundreds of products. So go to MayerJohnson.com. That's Mayer-Johnson.com. Follow them on Twitter at Mayer Johnson and visit them today. Welcome to the Coffee Klatch Special Needs Talk Radio Network. We provide excellence in broadcasting for the special needs and child adolescent mental health communities. Thank you for joining us tonight. And now, on to the interview.
Welcome to the Dr. Russell Hyken Show. This is Dr. Russell Hyken, and my special guest for this show is J. Todd Gentry, a special needs financial planner from MetLife. Dr. Russell Hyken Show is part of the Coffee Klatch Network. And as I said, our guest is J. Todd Gentry, and Todd has been a financial planner since graduating from Missouri State University with a B.S. in finance in 1993. And he spent his entire career with the same company, MetLife, with a special interest in special needs financing. Todd volunteers his time with numerous non-for-profit organizations and was awarded one of the financial service industry's premier professional credentials, the Chartered Advisor in Philanthropy, designated from the American College, and he is one of a handful of financial planners to achieve this designation in the St. Louis area. In addition to all of that, Todd has been featured in numerous publications over the years. In August of 2012, he was featured in an article in the National Underwriters magazine about planting the roots in the fertile soil of growth of special needs planning. He's been quoted in books, including Gene Chatsky's book, Money 911, and he has been interviewed for television on Streetscape, which is featured locally in St. Louis on ABC Channel 30. Welcome to the show, Todd, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Hyken. Good to be here.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, so you have an interesting story in that you do special needs financial planning. And I know as we were doing the pre-show interview, we talked a little bit about you actually have a child with special needs, and I'm assuming that led you into focusing on this area. But tell us a little bit about your family and how you got your start in special needs planning.
Well, I appreciate the question. Oh, my goodness, I could use up all of our time together talking about my family, right? So, absolutely. Ava, one of my two children, Ava, the youngest daughter, I would say is absolutely the reason that I have developed this passion for special needs planning, financial planning, sort of with that extra nuance of, okay, for a family like mine, what do we do different? So I certainly credit her with so much of that. Ava and I have, I guess, grown this business together, if you will. So my wife, Tammy, and I also, we work together, and I think it's just been a really interesting experience for us. It's been, I guess, 15 years since we've begun doing special needs planning. And my partner as well has a son with a significant disability. Ava has been diagnosed of all sorts of things. You know, the medical community diagnoses her with all sorts of different things. So that's where we're at.
Right. So, and how old is Ava now?
She's coming up on 10 years old.
Wow. So you are right in the thick of trying to figure out, you know, where her adult life will lead her, I'm guessing. At 10 years old, you're starting to think about that future for her and what that looks like. And, you know, that might be a good lead into, you know, kind of explain a little bit more for our listeners. What exactly is special needs financial planning?
Well, that's a great question.
Oh, thank you.
Special needs planning would be financial planning with the unique spin of taking a deeper look at how is this particular family's needs going to be additional, what financial additional dollars, if you will, are going to be needed to provide for the future care of the person with the disability. And it is so unique to every family that I could not begin to say, well, this is exactly how it is step by step. But one of the big factors is to integrate the state and federal benefits that are going to be available to a family, and making sure that the legal and financial planning coordinate those state and federal benefits and acknowledge them. And this is a challenge in today's world because those state and federal benefits are under greater and greater pressure. So when we meet with families, we're also thinking, gosh, it's what they are now. What are they going to be like in the future? So it's a challenging area of planning, and it really does take a coordinated team that knows what they're doing in this area.
You know, and I can imagine, you know, just listening to that, how overwhelming that could be for a family because, you know, I have kids that don't have special needs, and I'm already overwhelmed by, you know, not only doing my retirement but doing their college funding. This is a much larger task. And you mentioned this sort of team concept. How does it, you know, is that something that you as a special needs planner helps the family put the team together? You know, tell me a little bit more about what that looks like. Who's part of that team? I'm assuming you need more than just a financial planner, but maybe you don't. Talk a little bit about that.
No, that's another great question. So this is something I think is important. When we talk to families, I like to try to iterate and reiterate the idea that we will step them through this. Yes, it's complex, but if you work with someone who has done this complex strategy or surgery, if you will, you know, if you're working with a doctor who says, well, this is a complex surgery, but they've done it, you know, five times already that day, it becomes less complex. So working with folks that have done this before is important.
Sure.
And then I think pulling the team together is important and finding the right personality. So what we try to do for our clients is be that quarterback, which I think is the role that a certified financial planner should be in, or a financial planner should be in, is being that quarterback and knowing the client, knowing their customer, you know, knowing the person so well that if we do need to pull in an attorney, which is very common, that we know, well, this particular attorney's style, bedside manner, if you will, is likely going to fit with this particular person and their skill set. You know, if you have a client situation where you're going to really need to go to court because of a previously poorly drafted trust, or you're not going to need to go to court, or there's, you know, the expenses are the most, the cost of the legal fees are the most important piece. All of this goes together. And then there are other people that typically end up on the team. It might be a care coordinator. It might be a life care planner, a CPA, an accountant who understands the possible tax implications of some of the expenses that a family is incurring on a yearly basis that may be deductible. Mm-hmm. So having a full team around that person.
So it sounds like you could potentially need an attorney. Sounds like you definitely need an accountant. Did I understand? Well, and every family should have an accountant, but it sounds like you definitely need an accountant that maybe has some experience in this area.
It's certainly possible. It depends on the financial needs of the individual. And I wouldn't want folks to, as they're listening, think, oh my goodness, this just seems too big, we got to do this and this and this. Really, it starts with that kernel of an idea of having a conversation about what's important to you from a family perspective, because making sure that a family's financial security is set, no mistakes, that's where this all starts.
Right. So in addition to those professionals, my guess is part of putting the team together, would that be also including maybe designating a loved one to get help out? You know, I think of, I am aging and my mother is aging. And so, you know, my brother and sister and I have had talks about, you know, who's sort of helping her out with her life planning as we look down into the future. And I can imagine if that was one of my siblings that had special needs, I'd have to be talking with my other siblings about, gee, who's going to make the big decisions? My guess is, especially as a family therapist, there probably needs one family member to be in charge of things, or is that a faulty assumption? I would worry about arguing and bickering in that situation about what to do. And no, that's your responsibility, or that's your responsibility. And any thoughts or suggestions on that?
Absolutely. So you have asked the question regarding team, and of course my mind went straight to sort of the professional team around this person-centered type planning approach. And now the team really helps the family select trustees, or the family can do that on their own, but with
sure.
guidance, saying who's the right person going to be within your family. So there are so many iterations. Once again, it can be that a person will say there's no one in the family that's going to serve as a good trustee or a good guardian or a good conservator. And then we have, you know, possible solutions there that are businesses around those ideas. And then a family may say, oh, we've got six kids, everybody, let's have everybody chime in. And we might coach that family of what you've just said. Oh my gosh, if you make everyone a co-trustee, every decision could lead to a family fight. And there may be, like you've pointed out, if you have someone in the family that just sort of, this is what I see from families, and it's what I've seen for our family. Someone who sort of rises to the top is that emotional quotient. You know, the family leader who's the hugger might be the person who makes the great guardian / conservator, and the I dotter and the T crosser might be your trustee. I like the idea of having a corporate trustee as a backup or a co-trustee, so that some of the work that goes along with being a trustee can be alleviated, because I don't want families to have this huge pressure put on them to do and do and do. There are many sibling issues that are worth acknowledging. And I think all of this comes out of having a great relationship with a client advisor relationship, so that you're talking about not just numbers,
right.
talking about real family matters.
So I can kind of see, like, sort of as we started talking, you had described your role as the quarterback, and I can see the quarterback isn't just about, you know, the strategic play. It's also about, there's some emotionality involved. I think of the team, how do you win the game? Well, you can run the plays, but you also got to be thinking on your feet and choosing the right people to step up within the context of the game. And not that I want to say this is a game, but I really get that analogy. It's like, this isn't just one person making decisions. It impacts the whole family. It sounds like you really, really need that quarterback. You know, so as life progresses and maybe, you know, the parents pass on and this responsibility is left to the kids, have you ever come across a situation where, you know, all of a sudden there's this special needs child left and there's no primary family member left to assist? Is that something that happens with any frequency? And are there some things that families mm-hmm. need to be thinking about in terms of mortality? I know that's such a morose topic, but I think about, gee, if nobody was left to take care of one of my kids, I don't know how well I'd sleep at night.
Well, gosh, you've touched on a lot of areas there. So I would say that in my experience, I end up talking to families that are laying out thoughtful plans, and we are creating, if you will, bulletproof plans, or trying to create bulletproof plans, and the attorneys that we're working with. So I have not run across a situation where we run to some sort of end where there
right.
is no one. I certainly know, because I'm very actively involved in the I guess you would call it the you know, this special needs services community.
Right.
That those crises exist. But I think that if a family ends up meeting with someone like myself, they can avoid or do everything that they could possibly do to avoid those sorts of crises occurring. That is sort of the purpose of planning, although it can happen. I have no experiences where my clients have then
right.
had the unthinkable occur, where the entire family is wiped out and the state is left to be in charge. And I've heard those storylines.
Right.
And I would not want that for my families.
Well, and that's really comforting to hear, and that was sort of why I asked that question. I thought it would be an extreme situation, but certainly, you know, and that's more me speaking as a parent than a therapist. I would have that anxiety of, like, oh my gosh, you know, as you notice that child is starting to have special needs, you know, to really start planning for the longevity of the future. And, you know, I know as part of my business, I work with families trying to find special needs placements, and I work with a lot of facilities across the country that can manage the life spectrum. And I know how expensive that can be. So, you know, that kind of leads into, and I think I know the answer to this question, you know, how early do you start planning for this? And my guess is you, it's kind of like me with my college funds, you start the second you know.
yeah.
But my guess is a lot of times that doesn't happen. So,
right. So, again, several thoughts come to mind. Families tackle this when they're emotionally ready is probably the reality.
Right.
I've had families that have sat in our sort of conference room, planning room, before the child is even born with a diagnosis in utero, I suppose is the right word. And I've had families that are sitting here and mom and dad are 80 years old and it's been an entire lifetime of putting this off. I don't have a tipping point for you when I say this is the time to do it. I think the answer is now. If I had to give you an answer, but that's with any planning. If somebody says, hey, when should I start doing retirement planning? I'd say now.
Right.
Because, you know, now is when you have more options available to you now than you will in the future, because as time goes on, options tend to fade away.
Yeah.
But I think the answer, if I was to say textbook, is it's when people are emotionally prepared to deal with their own mortality, deal with the fact that that this diagnosis is not just going to go away.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are wrapped up into that, and then your mom and dad both have to be in that spot. And divorce being as high as it is because of the stress that having a child with a disability can put on a marriage, this is another, I don't know, nuance to the planning challenges. You could have combative situations as well. So there's so much to when, which is why I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to your families, because you know, somebody's going to hear this and it's going to be their when.
Right. You know, as I'm listening to you talk, I kind of am almost forgetting I'm talking to a financial planner. You sound like a therapist. I mean, you know, you were hitting on all of the key issues that if I were sitting down with a family in my office and trying to figure out how to, you know, plan for an individual's future, I'd be asking about the questions that you're asking. And I understand that, you know, having a special needs child creates a whole level of stresses in a family that most don't have those challenges. And also there's a lot of positive benefits that go along with that special child too, and how it can bring a family closer. I've seen that happen as well. But it just seems like such an overwhelming task for a family to deal with. And so I like that. I agree. You know, if a family came to me and said, when do we start? I would say the second you know. You know, and I've watched, and I know I can't really compare my kids to special needs kids, but, you know, my kids are young, and I'm seeing how my 529 plan has grown nicely and steadily, you know, since I have started it, even in a rough economy. And I've actually been very pleased that I feel like, wow, you know, I have some chances to help offset a lot of college expenses. This to me is different because we're not offsetting expenses anymore. We are really making sure that our loved one is taken care of. And you had mentioned that there are state and federal benefits. Does that really provide much in terms of helping a family out? Is there a lot out there? I wouldn't expect you to know particular programs, but it's sort of an overall feel. How do you access those, and can they truly help out?
Yes, again, this is a really broad issue. This is where I really feel like the individual expertise of an organization like the MetLife Center for Special Needs Planning adds value. Next week, I will spend a week of training at our symposium, really just being re-steeped in what are the intricacies of special needs planning for a child of any age with a disability. So there's a lot wrapped into what you've suggested. At the risk of sounding like a financial planner, I will say
that's okay.
That,
you are one. So
yeah.
That's good.
I will say that it is a financial challenge. there are solutions to these challenges, but it's individualized to every family. The experience I had last week is an interesting one. I have a client who is the father is a very much a numbers cruncher. He's a sort of a Wall Streeter type fellow, and
sure.
I have a child. They're blessed with a child with on the autism spectrum, and they are asking. So you know, he wants to crunch the numbers and say, how much should I have in this trust? How much
right.
money should I get into this trust? And so we've put together some data, but the answer is, oh my goodness, I can't give you a textbook answer. As you know, here the number is X number of dollars, the number is 500, the number is 4 million, the number is 2 million. There isn't an answer because it's based on the individual. And then furthermore, they have a child. You know,
right.
Their child is 13. It may change across the course of time. So there's not some sort of set perfect dollar number, but I went the extra step. I called an attorney that I've worked with for years. She's very, very well respected across the country. And I really posed the question to her, do you know of a textbook I can have this gentleman read or some sort of study
sure.
that's been done? And she said, you know what, no. And the answer was exactly what I expected her to say, which is what I just shared with you.
Yeah.
It's so individualized. But you look at it and you say, okay, state and federal benefits, what are they going to provide now? And
right.
will they be there in the future? And is that a roll of the dice that you want to make for your child? Now, depending on your financial wherewithal, your answer is different. And
yeah.
I can respect that. But you do need to know what benefits are going to be available, at least in today's environment. And I think then work backwards and say, well, you know, our family's lifestyle drives what that need is going to be. I hate to not give you a number, but I'm reluctant to give you a number because someone may take that and go, well, this isn't for me.
Right, right. You know, and that's a really honest answer because I feel like in my own personal financial planning, my financial advisor has models and says, you know, at this age you need this much to retire if you want to continue your lifestyle. But I think when you have a special needs child, there's so many unknowns. I mean, I see this in my day-to-day workplace where all of a sudden you have an unexpected hospitalization or maybe, you know, there's a new innovative drug treatment that can really help and insurance isn't going to cover that and it could be costly and you want to do it all for your kids. So really the message I'm taking away from all of this is the time to think about it is now, and what you can do is what you can do, and there's no right answer. The only wrong answer would be to bury your head in the sand. Is that a pretty good summary?
If you have a child with special needs, I think that is a great summary. And every family that has a child with disabilities, there are actually, I guess, I don't want to use the inappropriate word, but there are sort of societal norms in place, whether it be education or whether it be the post-death estate process, the probate process, and the medical community. There are processes, in a sense, that are in place that we might need to, as families, sort of work through uniquely. And therefore, yes, planning now is a good idea, essential, and sticking your head in the sand actually will generate, gosh, at risk of, you know, speaking to a large group.
Sure.
And saying something, you know, carte blanche, it could generate real problems that would not be conducive to family harmony. And that's
right.
a very, I guess, I don't know, academic way of stating it, but I'm very passionate about families getting this right, and I want to convey that.
Well, you know, and I would reiterate that point that I made before. I wouldn't look at it as an academic answer. I'd look at it as a therapeutic answer. It's like when I have families that sit in front of me, you know, I say those things. It's like, gee, if you ignore this now, it's going to balloon in the future. And then I even try and talk with families, well, how would this scenario look, or how would that scenario look, or how would that scenario look, trying to provide all of them the options. And so I think that, you know, what you're saying is extremely, extremely valuable. And actually, I've learned a lot today. And so as we sort of end our show, I'd like to say, ask if you have any parting comments, and to also make sure, tell people that are listening how they can get a hold of you, websites, emails, phone numbers, things like that.
Okay, well, parting comment, I guess, would be, you know, taking action early. I think I've seen families that have used education, used gotten their children sort of that extra bit of counseling that has made a difference across the course of their life. And it changes the financial. It changes their future financial needs and landscape. So now, would be a good solid message, I think, for our family. It's worked. For as far as contacting me, I have a website. It's www.jtgentry.metlife, which is metlife.com. And phone number, just direct line, 314-548-4825.
And would you want to share an email address as well?
Absolutely. It's jtgentry@metlife.com. So very much like the website.
There you go. So I really appreciate your time, Todd. And if you would like to get any more information about me, you can find me at teenparentingexpert.com. And for families that have long-term care for special needs individuals, I can also assist in providing some guidance and some different types of programs, and you could certainly take that information and go back and talk to Todd about that and kind of start planning your futures if you have a special needs kid. So take a look at teenparentingexpert.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Russell Hyken and on Twitter at Dr. Hyken, where I tweet out lots of information for the special needs community. And, of course, we want to thank the Coffee Klatch and the Coffee Klatch Radio Network, who provides lots of great information for the special needs community as well. Lastly, thanks again, Todd. This was a really formative show, and I appreciate all the information that you shared. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Hyken. Have a wonderful day.
You too.